there's morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world.
His spirit is with us.
As we rejoice, as we rejoice.
Hello, and welcome to our Ely team service on this, the 21st of February, 2021. And the first of our Lent services. My name is Stephen Duff, hello, and it's my delight to guide us through this time of worship together. Be comforted in knowing that other people are also tuning in. You may be by yourself or just with your family and really missing the chance to come together with other people in worship. So please be encouraged to know that other people are also watching. You can wave at them now and see and imagine them waving back at you. We are still a community in this time of pandemic. The church is not shut, our building may be closed, but we are more open and alive than ever. Shall we begin by praying together? I invite you to join in the words in bold. Lift up your voice and call out to God. We cry out, believing that God hears us. Come together and wait for God. We come together, trusting that God is still speaking. Surely God's presence is here with us now. We wait in hope, for God's steadfast love lifts our hearts. Come, worship the Lord. We celebrate the power of God that restores us. Amen. Amen. So hopefully you are somewhere comfy. Maybe like me, you've got a cup of coffee and you're ready for this service to continue. We're going to begin by singing together. Or maybe you just might like to listen to the words and let them wash over you. But we begin by reminding ourselves that it is in Christ alone that our hope is found.
Righteousness, scorned by the ones he hates.
We begin our Lent series today, which is based on this book, Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. We're going to be exploring the character of Jesus together through Lent. And in a moment, we're going to hear from Chris Hill, our rector, who'll be exploring Jesus, the man with a heart. But first, it's time for our Bible readings.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man, lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man.
So much is recorded about Jesus in the Bible, his life, his words, his healings, his servant nature. But in only one place does Jesus open up to us his very heart. What a privilege this morning to read those words. It's the moment where the Son of God pulls back the veil and lets us glimpse the essence of who he is. So what would you have expected him to say? "I'm stern and judgmental"? No, he doesn't say that. "I'm royal and powerful"? No, he doesn't say that. He surprises us by saying that he is gentle and lowly in heart. What on earth does that mean? In biblical times, much as today, speaking of the heart of the person was speaking about what drives us, what gets us out of bed in the morning, what inspires our dreams and our vision for life. It's who we are. Our heart is what identifies and directs us. Solomon wrote, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." And for Jesus, the Son of God, creator of the universe, his heart is gentle and lowly. I imagine if we'd written the story for the saviour of the universe, he would have looked more like Wonder Woman or Superman, with justice at their heart. Elastigirl or Mr. Incredible, facing up to the world's great threats. But we might never have come up with gentle and lowly, would we? There are only three other places in the Bible where this word gentle is used. The first is when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," which is a seriously misunderstood passage. The Passion Translation has, "What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you, for you will inherit the earth." When gentleness lives in you, when gentleness is active within you, when gentleness becomes your very essence, when gentleness drives your every thought and action. When Jesus' final acts are prophesied by Zechariah, he says, "Look, your king arrives. He's coming to you full of gentleness, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Full of gentleness, there it is again. There isn't room for any conflicting tendency in Jesus. And when Peter encourages us to let our true beauty come from our inner personality, for lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight. He's talking of our very nature, that which is embedded in our heart. Dane Ortlund says, "Jesus is the most understanding person in the universe. The posture most natural to him is not a pointed finger, but open arms." And the relevance for us today is life-changing. God's only Son, alive on this earth just 2,000 years ago, but present now in the form of his Holy Spirit. He's accessible to you and me. Imagine that. No one in the history of humanity has ever been more approachable than Jesus. All you and I have to do to be enfolded into Jesus' embrace is simply to open yourself up to him. Reciprocate Jesus' own accessibility by allowing access to your heart to him. It's all he needs. In fact, it's the only thing he works with. Verse 28 of our passage in Matthew 11 makes it clear who qualifies for this fellowship with Jesus. All who labour and are heavy laden. So let's be clear. You don't need to be prepared to come to Jesus. You don't need to get rid of your own burdens first. You don't need to spend hours preparing your pitch. Your very burden is what qualifies you to come. No fee has to be paid. Jesus simply says, "I will give you rest." You see, his rest is a gift, not a transaction. Whether you've been labouring so hard to get your life into shape, or if you are heavy laden by a habit you can't kick, or a conscience that's holding your feet to the fire, Jesus' desire for you is that you find rest, that you come into the shelter from the storm. Gentle and lowly is Jesus' very identity at heart. Tender, open, welcoming, accommodating, understanding, willing, approachable. It's who he is. But to benefit from Jesus' disposition does take one other simple thing. It requires us to respond to his heart with our heart. We do need to move a muscle, open the door, take a step, bow our head, open our hands, at least one of those. In other words, respond to this gentle heart of Jesus. There's a warning just before our passage this morning, which says, "Woe to you," says Jesus, "to the unapologetic cities of Bethsaida and Chorazin." Yes, there are consequences of walking away, of deliberately putting yourself outside the shelter and security of Jesus' heart. You were created with free will, and Jesus is never going to disrespect that. But for the penitent, Jesus' heart is never outmatched, even by our sins and foibles, our insecurities and doubts, our anxieties and failures, because gentleness is who he is. It's his heart. He can't ungentle himself towards us. It's who he is. And it's only as we respond to the heart of Jesus that we can really live the life that God intended for us. Ortland says, only as we drink down the kindness of the heart of Christ will we leave in our wake, everywhere we go, the aroma of heaven and startle the world with glimpses of divine kindness. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. He's not saying here life will be free of pain or hardship, but it is a yoke of kindness. To resist it is like telling a drowning man that he must put on the burden of a life preserver, only to hear him shout back, sputtering, no way, not me, this is hard enough, drowning here in these stormy waters. The last thing I need is the added burden of a life preserver around my body. We need to embrace his yoke, to wear his yoke of kindness. So if we respond every day to Jesus' invitation, it means that every day we can be swept into his tender embrace. Ortland says, you might think someone as perfect as Jesus would be repelled by us, just like an arachnophobe near my study window at the moment. But the God of the Bible is one whose infinite perfection is matched by his infinite gentleness. It's part of his perfection. He's incapable of acting any other way. So, in our other reading, when the group brought their paralysed friend to Jesus, immediately words of reassurance and calm tumbled out. Jesus can't stop himself. He sees their faith and says to the paralysed man, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven, even before they can open their mouths to ask for help. We see this again and again in Jesus' ministry. Wave after wave of compassion, he weeps over the anguish of others. In episode after episode, we find Christ naturally gravitating towards the morally repulsive, the socially outcast, the inexcusable and undeserving, so that he ends up being called a friend of sinners. Yes, Jesus is one whose holiness causes even his friends to fall down in fear. Yes, Jesus is a mighty teacher with great authority. But the dominant note left ringing in our ears after reading the Gospels is the way he moves towards sin and suffering, towards the prostitute and the leper, and touches, heals, embraces and forgives those who least deserve it, yet truly desire it. God is love. It's who he is. His heart refuses to let him sleep in the morning. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. So that means this is as true for you and me today as it was then. For me, it started in 1975, when Jesus took in a bitter, judgmental, racially prejudiced young man and pronounced forgiveness and freedom. And it's continued throughout my life in waves. Yes, I've struggled. Yes, I've kept parts of my life back. Yes, I've remained selfish in some ways. Yes, I've allowed poor patterns of behaviour to remain. But as each day I try to take that step towards the God whose heart is gentle and forgiving, Jesus has chipped away at my heart of stone and softened it up to become more like his. He's brought me back from the brink. He's made me reassess some relationships. He's challenged my motives. It's thus far an incomplete process. But I'm so glad we've started. And that each day brings a change, initiated by God's Holy Spirit living in me. So can I invite you right now to walk towards him, to reciprocate his gentle heart for you? Can we pray? Let's start by confessing. To help us become Christ-centered and to receive Jesus' cleansing mercy, can I suggest you open your hands to pray? Heavenly Father, we bring our burdens to you. We need your forgiveness. We need your healing. We admit that we've been walking away from you. We've not allowed our heart to respond to your heart. We've taken wrong turnings and made bad decisions. We pray for your forgiveness, Lord. And as we receive Jesus' balm, where we feel misunderstood or sidelined, help us to see ourselves through your eyes, Lord Jesus. Where we feel lonely or inadequate, help us to engage with our family in Christ, the Church. And as we receive your healing, Father, we invite you to change us, to transform us, to make us Jesus-shaped. Heavenly Father, don't just touch us with your healing hands. Please fill us with your Holy Spirit this morning. Through your Spirit, abide in us. Take up residence in our lives. Through your Spirit, soften our hearts and help us to begin to imitate you, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to weep with you, to love with you, to be gentle like you. And as we join our Christian brothers and sisters across Ely and the villages, may your church, your body, reflect your heart, so we act in the same way across our communities as you would. May your kingdom come through us, Lord Jesus. May we share your love with every home in Ely. Amen.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
And now it's time for our prayers.
Lord, as you guide us through the difficult days of Lent, encouraging us along the way, we pray that as we move towards the darkest day, that you'll not forsake us, but remind us of our Saviour's ultimate gift and promise of new, abundant, eternal life for all who believe and trust in him, your precious Son, Jesus. As we spend time through Lent, thinking of your Son and the experiences he dealt with, we pray that we can draw comfort and we take a moment to think of those that need comfort now, those that may have lost a loved one, those that might know somebody dealing with illness, that need support, that need the encouragement and hope that you are still with them and always there to comfort and guide them. We give these people to you, Lord, and ask that you help them. We pray for the NHS. We pray that their selfless work is appreciated and that we take the time to ensure that they know and that we continue to pray for them, whether they are followers of you or not, that we hold them in your hearts. In the same way we hold the leaders of the country, we pray for the Queen and her family. We pray for Prince Philip and hope that his health improves and he can be home with the Queen as soon as possible. We pray for countries around the world who not only have to struggle with coronavirus, but the difficulties of conflict, the difficulties of starvation, the difficulties of torrential and horrific weather. We pray that you will comfort them and support them as they struggle with these problems they face. Heavenly Father, you are a forgiving Lord. You are a comforting Lord. And we ask that you take these requests into your heart. And we pray that you will bring the comfort and solace to those that need it the most. We ask this in your name. Amen.
We bring all of our prayers together by praying the prayer which Jesus taught us. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now it's time for our final worship songs.
Battle in the grave, the war on reached the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, as perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Now forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen, he is alive, he is alive. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting?
As our service draws to a close, shall we affirm our faith together? So I ask, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Well, before we can finish our service, we need to do some notices. And for our first notice, I'm going to hand over to Piers for a finance update.
My name's Piers Coutts. I'm Church Treasurer for St Mary's and Christ Church. And I'm just going to give you a bit of an update now on how things went financially last year, 2020, how things are looking for 2021, and a very brief looking ahead to 2022 as well. So here goes. First of all, church finances in 2020, and I want to say a huge thank you to everybody. As you might have expected, church income fell significantly in 2020 due to the COVID crisis. Income from wedding and funeral fees, from renting our premises, and from collections at services pretty much ceased from March onwards. We made some savings on heating and by furloughing some staff, but these alone would not have balanced the books. However, church members rose magnificently to the challenge. Our regular support through standing orders and parish giving scheme held up well, And in addition, during the various lockdowns, we received £10,000 more in one-off gifts than we had budgeted for. As a result, we ended the year in the black with a modest surplus on our general housekeeping budget. Thank you so much to all of you who contributed in those ways. Secondly, I want to say a bit about charities that we supported in 2020, and this is another big thank you. It seemed likely that, with no opportunity for fundraising events last year, support for our charities would have suffered badly. However, folk took up that challenge as well, particularly the one presented by our main charity, Toilet Twinning, and by the end of the year we had sent £10,770 to them, enough to twin 178 toilets at £60 each, far above our target of 150. The staff at Toilet Twinning are overwhelmed by this achievement. Together with our support for other charities, this meant we gave away £23,374 last year, which was 10.8% of our general unrestricted income plus charity income. In the tough financial circumstances, this was a tremendous result, so many thanks to everyone who contributed here. Now, what about this year, 2021? Well, it's a challenge. By coincidence, a number of factors have combined which have had a serious effect on our financial situation in 2021. We've come to the end of our diocese's three-year support for the Family Missioner post, which adds £10,000 a year to our costs. And we're also aware that, due to several circumstances, people either dying or moving away from Ely or retiring or losing their jobs, our regular giving income will fall by at least £15,000 this year. As a result, our 2021 budget has a gap of £25,000 between income and expenditure. Now, the PCC have agreed that we can use some of our general reserves to meet part of this shortfall, but we're also asking that those who are able to do so consider increasing their monthly donations to help us fill this gap. We will be writing to everybody in the next few weeks to explain in more detail. Next, what about our charities we're going to support in 2021? This year, once again, we plan to fundraise for four main causes, of which three, To Kenya with Love, The Children's Society, and Christians Against Poverty, are the same as last year. For the other charity, we are moving from toilets to bins and supporting bin twinning this year. Across the world, 2 billion people don't have their rubbish collected. By donating £45 to twin each of your bins, you can help to fund community projects that prevent disease, protect the environment, and create jobs. When you twin, we'll send you a certificate to put on your kitchen, your waste, or your wheelie bin, showing a photo of the rubbish collection and recycling enterprise that you've twinned with overseas. We're certainly going to be buying a couple of bin twinning certificates for our bins at home. Later in the year, we also hope to do something practical for the local community here in Ely by clearing litter from some public spaces. Finally, some good news about 2022. Looking ahead, it was becoming increasingly clear that we would not be able to afford to fill the second stipendiary post when Stephen Dove moves on in the summer. However, we are delighted to say that the diocese have now chosen to invest in St Mary's and to help us to retain this full-time stipendiary mission post. This investment means that we will only have to pay about 30% of the cost of this post in the first year, with that proportion being increased in following years as and when we are able to do so. We will therefore be advertising the post shortly in the hope that a successful applicant will be able to start this July. Many thanks indeed from all the team at St Mary's and Christchurch.
A big thank you to Piers for that update. We are now, as we've mentioned, in the season of Lent. So please do look out for our Lent stories. People from throughout the St Mary's family sharing with us who Jesus is to them. There'll be a few released each week and you can find them at www.stmarysely.org/Lent-stories. Do visit there and listen as people share who Jesus is to them. For all our other notices, please do look at our church website, www.stmarysely.org, And on there, you'll be able to find a link to our bulletin, which contains all sorts of information about the things that go on within St Mary's. So please do look that up. And you can sign up to have that bulletin sent to you. And then all that news and all that information will be sent straight to your email inbox. So do that to find out all sorts of things. A big thank you for everyone who has contributed to today's service. And all it leaves us to do is to finish this time in prayer. So our closing prayer. O God, who makes all things new, new stars, new dust, new life, take our hearts, every hardened edge and measured beat, and create something new in us. We need your newness, God, the rough parts of us made smooth, the stagnant stirred, the stuck freed, the unkind forgiven. And then by the power of your Spirit, we need to be turned toward love again. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us here today. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. I have been Stephen. You, as ever, have still been fabulous. See you again soon. Bye.